beautiful people in the house. Praise God. Blessed and beautiful people in the house. Praise the Lord. And we blessed and beautiful people online. And we say welcome, welcome, welcome again. Like Pastor Cynthia said, welcome, welcome, welcome. And we welcome all those who are our first-time guests in the house and online. And they got information on how you can connect with us. Let us know who you are, and we'd love to connect with you. We'd love to, you to know that you're watching. We appreciate you taking the time to watch with us. So what are we doing? In the month of February, new month, we got a new teaching emphasis. I want to let you know up front, we got a couple good things happening. In this format, in what the Lord, I believe, has instructed us to do, we're going to be having our live stream services every other week. So if you're online, this is an opportunity for you to come with us and participate in the house next Wednesday, because we're not going to be online next Wednesday, praise God. We're going to be in our groups and in our studies. We're going to be taking deep dives and learning how to be the church and build a church. That's what this is all about. The next 2 months, God has instructed, take some time and go back over the fundamentals and make quality decisions. And that's why this series is teaching if it's called I Will. So it's what will I do to be the church and build a church. So everybody will have a call and a company, people to help stir each other up and pray for each other to be the church and build the church. Amen. And so our format, our flow, just for everyone in the house and everybody online, will be every other week we're going to teach one particular point of emphasis. For example, tonight, point of emphasis will be I will worship with others. And so we always say salvation is personal, but it's never private. And we are to worship with others. And, of course, we're going to look at what the Word says about that. And this is one of the fundamentals, starting points of us being the church and building church. Now, here's what the background is. During the pandemic, and you know, we're still in it, and we're still dealing with the virus and all that stuff, you know, we got real good at doing church different ways, online, in person. But what has happened is we've got to get back to being the church. We've got to get back to being the church and building the church. Well, how do we do that with masks and social distancing and all this stuff? God's going to give us creative ways, and that's what our group engagement is going to be about. How do we say, I will be the church and build the church, even in the midst of the pandemic? Because the Lord didn't relinquish us from that responsibility and those expectations that he has outlined in his word for us to be the church and build the church. Everybody got it? So, and you come into the house, we have our little card, our process on how we're going to approach that. We'll talk a little bit more about that at the end of this service offline with the folks in church. And we invite you to come, invite you to be the church. Take the step of faith. We do a good job of sanitizing and disinfecting everything. So we're following the guidelines as best we can. And so everybody's safe and secure. And it's time to be the church. Amen. So that's what our journey will entail. So let's get right into the word. Tonight we're going to be talking about, and our series is called I Will. It's just simple, where you make a quality decision. No turning back decree. A determined choice that I will be the church. I will build the church. So this is our refocus time. February and March, this is our time of recommitment to the purpose and plan of God for our lives, to be the church and to build the church. This is a time of reformation that we are to undergo in this season, February and March, to be the church and to build the church. Not just do good church and come to church. That's important. But we want to be and build. build the church. Come on, say amen. Praise God. So let's go to Acts chapter 2 is where we're going to start, because this lays the foundation of our first emphasis, this first emphasis. So one of the things that these emphases will provide is not only a, you know, and we've been real good about in-reach focus, but have an outward focus, because a lot of people need to be saved. A lot of people need to come into the kingdom. And God's not going to come down here and just drag them by their feet into the church. Sometimes he's going to use you. Sometimes he's going to use me. And so we have to be focused outwardly. We've done a good job at focusing inwardly, but we want to focus outwardly. Amen. We want to have a balanced perspective in our Christian life and journey. All right. Acts chapter 2, verse 40 through 47 in New King James Bible. I'm reading. It says, "And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying," this is the day of Pentecost when the church was first born, "be saved from this perverse generation. And those who gladly received the word were baptized. And that day was about 3,000 souls were added to them." Now, again, this generation, we would say it's the same context. There's a lot of bad things out there in the world. So what's the exhortation? Be saved from this perverse generation. All right. Verse 42, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among them all as everyone had need. So continuing daily," verse 46, "with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Praise the Lord for his word. So I want you to think about this. They weren't just doing church alone. They were doing church with others. Now, one of the things that, you know, that has occurred because of the particular crisis or pandemic we're in, people have gotten more comfortable being privatized Christians. And we're used to just doing church through a device, screen. Even when we come, you know, we're set far away from people enough to where we can be safe. And that's okay. And that's, you know, we had to go through those requirements. But I think it's taken away some of the fabric and the focus of us being who we need to be. We all are new creations in Christ, but we also have a position and a place in the body of Christ. We have a purpose in the body of Christ. And that purpose is not independent or isolated from other people, but it's in context and in community and in unity with other people. So we are to worship with others, but we have to make a decision now that we're going to transition from, "Well, maybe I will," to "I will," or from "I am coming to church" or "I am watching church" to "I will be the church. I will worship with others as the church." Okay, everybody got that? So the early church turned the world upside down for Christ. Keep reading through the first five chapters, you'll see. They taught the doctrine of Christ. Their fellowship centered on Christ. They remembered him in communion. They communicated with him in prayer. And they exalted Christ in worship. Look at those things. Seems like that's a template for us. That's a model for us. Now, if we as a church and as Christians today focus on Christ in this way, the Holy Spirit would turn our world and our community upside down. How many of you would like to see that? Would you like to see that online? Would you like to see Christ invade? He's not going to work independent and isolated from the church. Now, Jesus is Lord, but he's the head of the church. That's you and me. We're his body. Amen. He's not going to operate independent and isolated from his body. So if we want Jesus to turn the world upside down, we got to be the church. And we got to build his church. Praise God. So we are charged and challenged this year, 2021, as this church and many other churches, because this is the year of the local church. So this is our emphasis right up front in the first quarter of the year, is to start being and start building. To be the church, build the church in a healthy, holy, and holistic manner. Healthy, holy, holistic manner by God's grace and help. How do we know that we're healthy? Let's talk about that just for a minute. Because healthy churches do three things. We're going back to some of the basics, but we need to get really good at the basics. The routines, the mundane, the foundational truths. I'm going to ask this, put this in forms of questions. Number one, is our worship and our words up or down? Now you think about that. Is our worship and our words up or down? Because they're connected together, but they're so important. What direction is our worship and what direction are our words going? In other words, are the songs and are speaking about him, Christ Jesus, our Lord, or about us? Does the worship and do our words point up to him or point to us? Now, here's when they point to us. Oh, I gotta serve tonight. Oh, I don't want to do that. Oh, I don't want to pray. because they're talking about what we... When we must realize, remember what we've said before, and if you hadn't been with us online, we've talked about this in the past. Every opportunity to serve or to minister to one person must be highly appreciated. Because you get the privilege and the opportunity to serve one person or to minister to one person. If we don't appreciate it, we become disqualified in doing it. So it no longer becomes a joy, it becomes a drudgery. That's how words can be down instead of up. Do our words and conversations only talk about what we're doing or what the devil's doing? Because we call them, sometimes they're called holy huddles, but they may be unholy huddles. We're talking about mess, misery, and mistakes. They're not holy huddles, they're unholy huddles, because we're just basically gossiping about the devil's doing. Or how the devil defeated somebody. See, what's our word saying? What's our worship saying? Is it up or down? Are we talking about what we're doing or what the Lord's doing? See, these are barometers or measuring sticks of our health, our heart health, the heart and of our worship services. Now, number second, our energy, is it in or out? We said it in the last series, we ought to bring something to church. That means our heart should be filled with what? Thanksgiving and what? Thanksgiving and praise. In other words, so you can add to the worship service or the worship times during service, the songs times, when we're corporately worshiping together, you add to that your adoration and your appreciation to the Lord. Now, you think about it. If you're not adding, if you're neutral or negative, you're subtracting. Are y'all listening to me tonight? See, because if your heart's not full, it's empty. And your energy is going to be out and not in. We used to even say it in the corporate arena. When a supervisor, a boss shows up, you know, like a multi-unit supervisor or a big boss or something like that, usually they did one of two things. They either brought energy to that unit or that organization, or they took it away. Are you taking away the energy from the house? Some people have masqueraded themselves as Christian energy vampires. You suck the life out of the worship service. Is there energy in the house or out of the house? Are all the happenings in the house, in the church, or outside of the house? Because some people are more excited about what's going on outside the house. Because they come in the house and on their phone and on their devices, they're connected to what's going on outside the house. They're not excited or energized about what's going on in the house. I'm talking about being the church. I'm talking about building the church. You need energy to build the church and keep the church healthy. Is your energy in or out? Now, I want you to discuss this next week. And those along, you're going to check my energy level. Am I bringing it or am I taking it away? Is all of our energy and efforts for inreach, or is it equally towards outreach? Are we using all of our energy and efforts to get better doing the church? Or are we equally engaged and energized at being the church? Are we getting wrapped around an axle about just doing church better, bigger, different ways, and we're always, you know, maniacally focused about doing church when that's okay, but that's not the real deal? The real deal is us being the church. This is just the laboratory. This is just the training center. This is just the practice ground. This is where we rehearse on each other. But the real game is out there. And we make the practice so big and so magnanimous that we have no energy outside. Because we said, I've done church. I'm spent on church. I'm burnt out of church. We got to be the church. Thirdly, now we're talking about refocusing now, recommitting, because this is strong stuff. You got to swallow it. Everybody say it's good. Everybody say it's good. So is our vision just for today or for tomorrow? Is there anything about tomorrow in our preferred future that's out there, or just for today? What happened to me today? What's going on with me right now? what's occurring in my life at this moment. Now, thank God we have friends and faith friends and a church family to be able to deal with today. But, you know, as we grow in the Lord and as we continue to grow at being the church, it's important for us to focus on what's the big picture. What, more importantly, what's the Lord's view of things? I often say people have perspectives either at crop duster level. They're really low to the ground. They're always looking at the nasty now, the dirty details. And God's saying, come on up to the 30,000-foot level. See things from my vantage point. You know, that opening scripture that Pastor Cynthia read in Habakkuk, you know, when some people don't rejoice because they're looking at the empty stall. They're looking at the crop failure. They're looking at the problems, the pain, the pressure. They're looking at that, and that's all they look at. They never look at the potential, what God can do. They never look at the impossibilities and the miracles that God can bring on the scenery of your life. Is your vision just for today or for tomorrow? When people only have a vision for today, they spend all their money today. They expend and run hard for the day. They stay up all day because they think, I'm going to run out of time. I'm going to run out of talent. I may run out of money. I run out of treasure. Because they think only today. See, as members and laborers and leaders of the church, we're living more. Are we living more in today or for tomorrow? Now, our life, friends, let me tell you this, just share this with you. Your life is a seed. So you think about the law of sowing and reaping. And the law of sowing and reaping says what you sow, you will reap. So what are you sowing today? You're supposed to live like a farmer. A farmer doesn't live for today. A farmer lives for the harvest. A farmer prepares to get a big harvest. Are we living and expecting and preparing for the harvest of people that God will entrust into our hands to raise up to be born again believers and Christ followers? If we're eating our seed, we're only thinking, man, I'm not even thinking about tomorrow. I'm thinking about today. I got to eat right now. Some people don't like temporary inconvenience for permanent improvements in their life. They rather live a life that's not inconvenienced, or to live a life full of convenience and comforts and being casual. That just tells you their vision is only for today. Can I rest? Can I sleep? Can I have parties? Can I recreate? Can I do this? And spend all of my time, energy, resources, and money for today. And not invest it for tomorrow. Remember, the enemy doesn't mind us having church as long as we are not making a difference. See, true worship flows from a heart in recognition and response, in recognition and response to the magnificence of Christ. So it doesn't matter what kind of song it is, what kind of genre it comes out, you know, we're not style dependent or we have a preferred song. We said any song about the Lord, we're going to love to worship with it. We're going to love to sing with it. Any song about our Savior, we're going to love it. And we're going to lose ourselves in it, in worship, with passion, with desire, with our hearts. Because we say Christ is magnificent, and we want to magnify him and make him real big. True worship flows from the heart in recognition and response to the magnificence of Christ, because of an understanding of the amazing grace solely found solely in the gospel of Christ. Man, guys, we get to go to heaven. No matter how bad it gets on earth, we get to go to heaven. Woo! Glory to God. Now, no matter how rough and tough it gets, we get to go to heaven. If they start lining Christians up like they did do in other countries and nail them to the cross or shooting them dead, we get to go to heaven. We get to go to glory. We get to live forever and ever and ever. This life pales in comparison to eternity. This life is to be preparation for the next life. Now, when we do worship with others, when my worship and my work for in the church and as the church matters for others, then eternity will matter for me. But if I don't do any worship or work that matters to others, if all my things are personal, private, and I'm just pushing my own personal agenda, and I'm just selfishly ambitious about my things, what I want to do, I've got a narrow tunnel that just includes my three people. A narrow focus, me, myself, and I. How I feel, what I want to do, how my mood is right now at the moment. What my emotional state and well-being, if I'm going through or not. You know, I'm the big subject in my life. You know what I'm talking about. I'm the center of it all. If Jesus is not at the center, then my life is not going to matter much in eternity. Why are we talking about being the church? Because we need to not just be so inclusive and inside-minded. We need to be outward-focused. I know this is good stuff. This is good, strong stuff, but just swallow it good. It's good. It's good for us. Amen. He called us to be the church, build the church, to be a church in our community and not just be a church on the corner. There's hundreds of churches in this city, hundreds, probably even thousands of churches in this city. But we're not just to be a church on the corner. We'll be the church in the community. How would we act if we were the only church in the city of San Antonio? That's what the Lord's telling us to be. Be like you are the only church in San Antonio. What would you do? How would you think differently? How would you respond to the needs of the community differently? We're called and have been created to matter. You matter. Everyone in person online, you matter. Every soul matters. And we've been created to be essential to individuals, to children, to teenagers, to singles, to couples, to college and students and people of different ages, stages, and generations. At classes and cultures and colors, we've been called to be essential and to make a difference now and in eternity on the behalf of the kingdom in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Now let's read verse 46 and 47 again. 46 and 47. So continuing daily and with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. Now this is being church. See, everything centers around the church. I like how the Message translation says in Ephesians 1, the world, we read it Sunday, is not peripheral. I mean, the world church is not peripheral to the world, but the church, the world is peripheral to the church. But unfortunately, people have gotten it backwards, and they've made what's going on out there more important than what's going on in the church. And we're under command, and we're under orders, and a great commission by the head of the church. He gets to tell us what to do. And he said, be the church. Now look at verse 26 in the Christian Standard Bible. It says, every day they devoted themselves. How often? Every day. Look at the frequency. See, we got to get out of church is church today. No, it's church every day. Because you are the church. You know, some people, you know, I'm not trying to label sins or label bad things, you know, because, you know, sin is sin, right? Wrong is wrong. But some people smoke. They won't smoke in church, but they'll smoke out there. Because they say, the building. I'm not going to smoke in the building. I'm not going to drink in the building. I'm not going to fool around and have sex with someone who's not my spouse. Amen. In the building. And because they think that the church is the building. But the church is the people. You are the church. So every day, devote themselves to meeting together in the temple. They broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts. Notice the essential part of worship, the Lord's Supper. I'm just bringing that out because we talked about the devoting every day, because you're talking about with others. And again, everybody's got their own, you know, devotional regimen and routine. What about others? Are you sharing what the Lord's given you with other people to bless them, to encourage them? This is part of our worship with others. Some people are so private that they don't share one note or one word about what the Lord's doing. That's not being the church. And another, they ate bread from house to house. Lord's Supper, let's talk about that for a minute. They refer to breaking the bread here in this count, or communion as we call it, or Lord's Supper. Because what does that do? We have in that Sunday. We have in this Sunday. And communion should be something we get excited about because corporately we break bread. I know we have the symbols of the wafer and the juice cup. But what does that do? What does it imply and what does it bring into our lives? It gives us an opportunity to look back. We look back at what? The cross. Why do we need to look back? We need to look back because sometimes, you know, we might have got our heads spun around in January with bad news, negative stuff. Some of us were in the toilet over things that happened in the community or in the country. And so you got your head spun around. You need to look back at the cross and remember his death. His burial, his resurrection, his ascension, his victory over death, hell, and the grave. You need to look back. And you need to look forward. Communion helps us look forward to who? The coming of Christ. He said, as you often as you do this, remember me. You remember that Jesus is coming back soon. And then the scripture tells us in Corinthians that we are to examine ourselves. So we look inward. So we look back, we look forward, and we look inward to the condition of our hearts. Is my heart, listen to me, listen to me very closely. Is my heart enjoying Jesus? Is my heart fully engaged with Jesus? Is my heart excited and absolutely enthusiastic about Jesus? Because Jesus even told us in John 15:11, he said, these words have I spoken to you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy would be full. So if I'm not full of joy, if I'm not enjoying Jesus fully, if I'm not fully engaged in Jesus, if I'm not absolutely excited and enthusiastic about Jesus, then there's a condition in my heart that needs to just be adjusted. So regarding everything in our lives, if I'm mad about my money, because my money has been funny, if I'm mad about my healing that's been delayed, if I'm mad about the relational schism that's causing me much pain and agony in my soul, then I need to judge myself. I need to examine myself. Now listen to these three points here. They were devoted. They did not gather to check off some legalistic guideline. The word devoted means there was a motive, a passion, heart, and desire. They were excited about coming to church. They didn't come to church complaining. Man, my God, it's like cussing in God's face when you complain in church. You're not devoted. We got to go back to being the church and making our worship service so excited. When everybody's excited and thrilled to be the church, that means we notify our face and we smile. You don't look at me in that tone of voice. They were joyful. Why? Because their focus was on God. The only way you can be joyful is to focus on God. If you focus on everything wrong, let's just put it real. Some people have a negative bent to them. Again, that's how they're wired, and God can help you with that. But sometimes when you get kind of a critical or cynical spirit about you, you tend to spot everything that's wrong. And you become a church inspector. That's wrong. They said that wrong. That word's spelled wrong up there. That word's wrong on the notes. And you're basically an auditor. God didn't call us to be auditors. He called us to be adorers and appreciate God. Hallelujah. And acknowledge God. To come in and add to the joy, not be a joy dispeller. Now, they humbled them. They had humble attitudes. That meant they put their others before themselves. How you doing? How may I serve you? You know, we get into a habit of getting used to one another to a point to where we don't even greet one another with a holy kiss. And what does that mean? That means a kiss or a contact or connection of charity. It means a connection of charity. That means I'm going to show you compassion and show you that I care. Enough to say, hi, how you doing? I'm interested, really interested in how you're doing. I'm sincere in asking you, how are you doing? I'm sincere when I'm asking you, how may I serve you? Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Put others before yourself. They showed up prepared to help and serve others. They didn't show up to complain or criticize. They didn't show up to commit. They showed up to commit and committed to help, serve, to sow, to benefit, and build up the building up of others. Now let's read something in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. Let's read and he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine and by trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head of Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effectual working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Everybody say praise the Lord. Now, this describes the law of design. So how did God design the New Testament church to be? That's how we need to answer this question. These scriptures answer this question. How was the original design of the church to be in this dispensation, in this New Testament? Well, this is us being the church and building the church. This is the model. So when the church functions as designed, good things happen. Every member becomes a minister. Every member becomes and assumes the role of a minister. Everybody say, I'm a minister. So we don't say I'm not in the ministry. You say I am in ministry. Because I'm a member, that means I have to assume the role of being a minister. Now, how does this design work? I'm going to give you six points of how it works. Number first, believers are equipped. By who? Their pastor, their preacher, their teacher. And, you know, the fivefold ministries are listed there. What do those gifts provide? Equipping. Equipping. You get equipped. You come to church and worship with others to get equipped. You don't come to church and to get empathy from others. You come to church to get equipped. Verse 12. And second, the church is enhanced when it's equipped. And then third, the church is edified. That means constructive spiritual progress is made. Constructive spiritual progress is made. It's edified. It's being built up. And then number fourthly, new Christians are established. Verse 15, it talks about speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto him. New Christians can be established in this design, in this model. Fifthly, the church is effective. Our prayers are effective. Our work in the ministry is effective. That's why we said at the beginning, really the end of last year, when we asked the question, how effective is this, that we what we do? And six, the congregation is enlarged. So believers are equipped, the ministry is enhanced, the church is edified, the Christians are established, the church is effective, the congregation is enlarged. Everybody see the design? See, we understand from this design that we've been knitted together in Jesus. We're part of the universal body of Christ, but as a local church, we are united together in Christ in that local assembly. See, once a covenant has been made, you're never a single person again. Because covenant means commitment. It's like you're married to each other. Till death do you part. All right? And it says we comprehend God together as a church. Then isolation and independence is not God's plan. Those things are not God's plan for us. So I can't stay privatized. I can't just keep everything private. I've got to live and worship with others. I can't just be all the time about me-mindedness. I've got to have a we-mindedness. See, to minister to Jesus and the body, because that's what we're ministers for, to minister to Jesus and the body is the calling of every joint in the body. So every part of the body has two assignments, minister to the Lord and minister to the body. Now think right there. Am I ministering to the Lord? And am I ministering to the body? His body is the body I'm a part of. Now, if you lose just body parts analogies, you know, like the blood circulates through the cells. Every muscle, tendon, every nerve, every part of the body has a function, has a use, has a purpose. So you fulfill your unique purpose within the body. That's your ministry to the body. Are you listening to me? And so the big ministry of the body, the local body, is the ministry of exorcism. And I've listed seven things, prominent ministries of the local church. We all have a part in the ministry of reconciliation. I'll talk about that in just a minute, but I'll list all seven real quick. The ministry of the word. We got to come get ministered by the word. Ministry of the prayer. Ministry of prayer. Prayer ministry is a big one. Ministry of reconciliation. I'll come back to that one. Number four, the ministry of restoration. That's for people who have fallen away or gone astray. Number five, the ministry of helps. That's where a lot of the doing church service is held, being the church. And then, of course, six, the ministry of encouragement and the ministry of comfort or consolation. So those are seven prominent ministries of the local church by the help and the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God working through us as believers. Now let's talk about the ministry of reconciliation real quick. He said he's given to us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. Now I want you to see this. I'm going to read those scriptures real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse number 18. Now, all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the what? Ministry of reconciliation. He's given that to us. That's our job. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses against him, and committed to us the what? The word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As through God, we're pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to who? Be reconciled to God. Amen. So that's our ministry. That's not something that's a suggestion or implied idea. It is a job, role, and responsibility that we must fulfill as the church. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16, going back to that account. Let's look at it in New Living, the last two verses there, 15 and 16. It says, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing up in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church, who makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part, everybody say each part, does its own special work. Everybody say, I've got work to do. And it's special work. It's not insignificant. It's not minuscule. It is special work. Amen. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy. Remember, we talked about health. And growing and full of love. This is how we build a healthy and loving church. We come together, engage in worship with each other, and then we get equipped with the word and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to empower us to effectively do the work of the ministry. God didn't create a plan B design. There's no upgraded model. This is the plan. Amen. No worship, you will lose your focus and faithfulness to do the work. That's why I'm starting with worship. Because if you don't worship with others, if you come to church just thinking, this is my world, it's all about me, I'm thinking about myself. Yeah, I'm thinking about the Lord, but he just cares only about me. And you're not thinking about that worship flowing and growing to and through others. You're going to walk out of here jaded. And you're going to walk out of here just thinking about you and your needs. Is somebody hearing me tonight? So if you don't worship, you lose your focus and your faithfulness to do the work. That's why a lot of work is not being done, because everything's about them. Remember, our faith is not about watching or sitting. It's about serving and doing the work of the ministry. Our service starts with our worship. The heart of worship is our service. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm excited about this. It's time to say, as we close, I will to corporate worship. It's time to say, I will. Everybody say, I will. See, I will attend worship services. Now, you just don't show up and say, I'm here. Hebrews 10:25 says, and let us not neglect the meeting, our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another. Especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. We're supposed to be majoring in encouragement and majoring in engagement with one another. With one another. With one another. The King James says the assembling of ourselves together. That means you can be in church but not be assembled with the church or as the church. Are you assembled tonight? It takes faith and focus to get assembled. Who do you unite to first? Who do you connect to first? You connect to the head. Jesus is Lord. You connect to the head. If you haven't connected to the head, you will stay disconnected to everybody else. You got to get connected to the head, and then the head connects you to the body. So if you come in thinking independent, isolated, irritated, insolent in your attitude, so to speak, you're not going to get assembled. You may be in the seat, but you may not be in connection with the Savior. So you attend with intentionality, with purpose. I pray before I attend. I will pray before I attend worship service. We read it Sunday, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Never stop praying. Never stop praying. I will pray for my own attitude of worship. You know, we bring in that bad attitude. We talked about that for 8 weeks. The purpose of praise and worship. We got to get it. We got to get better at worship. We come in with our heart filled with thanksgiving and praise. We ought to hear an alarm saying, you better thank God. You better be saying 10 thank yous. Thank you, Lord, coming from your car to the front door. I know we're not conditioned to that, but this is reconditioning. This is reformation. This is refocusing. This is recommitment. I will pray to God to speak to me in the worship service. I will pray for others who are in person and online during the worship service. I will pray for my family that we will not have conflicts before we attend. And I pray and ask who should I help, encourage, and bless, and what can I learn? We're prayerful when we come to church. We enter the worship service with what? Our hearts filled with thanksgiving and with praise. So it looks to others like you've been with Jesus. You don't look like you've been a bother to Jesus. I know we're not a bother to, but you know how some people look like, man, I'm just tired of church. I'm tired of people. I will pray as I enter the sanctuary. I'm talking about levels of prayer, because you could pray for the church service. You could have prayed last night. That's fine. There's no time or distance in the spirit. You prayed, you put your faith out there on the line for the church. You've invested, you've sown seed of prayer for the church. Then when you get to church, you pray in the sanctuary. I pray that my heart and my mind will be willing, open, and receptive to the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. I will pray for unbelievers that they will hear the gospel clearly, and God's Spirit will convict them of sin and the need to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. I'm not just praying for myself. I'm not just reading my Bible for myself. I'm not just looking at my notes all myself. I just don't have my devices in my ear. I'm on the phone or watching my device for myself. I'm praying for others because I'm worshiping with others. And I will pray. I will be a worshiper instead of a judge, a downer, a distractor, or a doubter during the worship service. I will pray to be an active participator and partner in worship and not a spectator or a spectacle during the service. I will add my faith and my focus and my passionate fire to the worship service. I will pray that we all focus on Him instead of ourselves and not on our feelings or our moods and bad attitudes. See, our church worship services, friends, are to be purposeful and not to lack purpose or lack power. They're to be purposeful and powerful. It takes our praying and our engaged participation in our corporate gatherings and meetings to be the church and build the church on the right foundational truths. That's why our first I will is I will worship. It starts right there. I know we were at a church for their anniversary and stuff, and the church was real big, but it had very little people in there. It's anniversary, people were still scared and afraid to come. But one of the unique things is people weren't afraid to abandon themselves to worship. Some people, 20 years my age, more my age, running around the church, shouting the victory, excited about the Lord. The pastor had to wear a walker, walk on a walker, but he was scooting that walker around, dancing for the Lord in his walker. It just blessed me. It just blessed me. Because he said, I will worship with others. Hallelujah. I will worship with, stand to your feet. Come on, Pastor. I will worship with others. Hallelujah.